First Chandler. Amen. Haggai, first chapter. I'm going to read for a little bit. All right? It says, on the first day of the sixth month, King Darius, second year, the Lord spoke this message through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak. The Lord who rules over all says this, these people have said, the time for rebuilding the Lord's temple has not yet come. So the Lord spoke through the prophet Haggai as follows. Is it right for you to live in richly paneled houses while my temple is in ruins? Here then is what the Lord who rules over all says. Think carefully about what you are doing. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but are never filled. You drink, but are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but are not warm. Those who earn wages end up with holes in their money bags. Moreover, the Lord who rules over all says, pay close attention to these things also. Go up to the hill country and bring back timber to build the temple. Then I will be pleased and honored, says the Lord. You expected a large harvest, but instead there was little. And when you brought it home, it disappeared right away. Why? Asked the Lord who rules over all. Because my temple remains in ruins, thanks to each of you favoring his own house. This is why the sky has held back its dew and the earth its produce. Moreover, I have called for a drought that will affect the fields, the hill country, the grain, new wine, fresh olive oil, and everything that grows from the ground. It also will harm people, animals, and everything they produce. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak, along with the whole remnant of the people, obeyed the Lord their God. They responded favorably to the message of the prophet Haggai, who spoke just as the Lord their God had instructed him, and the people began to respect the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's word to the people. I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord energized and encouraged Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the whole remnant of the people. They came and worked on the temple of their God, the Lord who rules over all. This took place on the 24th day of the sixth month of King Darius, the second year. What the world says versus what the word says as it relates to building the temple. In other words, God is simply saying this. You're too busy with your stuff to notice his stuff. And there is no reason why his stuff should go without while you have plenty and while he is the giver of all that we have. In other words, the world likes to say that the church has too much, or they don't need anything. They can do without, or they can do without mine. It's easy for the world to say that when the world is the one competing against the word for what you have. The world will give you things that you can tangibly see, that you are impressed with, that makes you look good and feel better about yourself, from homes to cars to clothing to fragrances to foods, you name it. The world is out to get it. But then they say that the church don't need it. Now, God is simply saying, how is it in the world that for one who gives you everything, you give back nothing? Or if you give back something, it's a poor, measly portion of what you have because you believe it's enough. See, we have no problem spending with the world. We go to a restaurant, it's expensive, no big deal. We want to look like we're hanging with the big boys. I want a nice filet mignon. I want to have that taste in my mouth. And I'll pay the price. And I'll even tip the server. And I'll do what it takes to impress whoever I'm with, or just to let other folks know I ate at Ruth Chris Steakhouse. But at God's house, we're serving up chicken. It's on sale. I can live with that. It's okay to go to the movies and spend $1 million in the movies, because you're going to have to spend $1 million if you go see that movie. And you don't have no problem with the popcorn and when you really think about it, who in the world in their right mind pay $5 for a little bag of popcorn? But you figure it's okay because you at the movies. And so you get the $5 popcorn and a $5 drink that you can buy a whole six pack and two liters at the store for the same thing and drink on it for a month. Yeah. But because it's in the world and it's where you think you should be and where you want to be and you want to fit in, because I don't want to go in the movie with the popcorn and drinking and they sitting around and then my neighbor's pulling out something out their bag. Or there's the mall, or the flea market. We can go and get our goodies and our shops and stuff. I look at my shoes and look at my CDs and my games, and I'm willing to buy, to purchase what the world wants so I can keep the world stores going. But when it comes to the house, I'm going to give them a dollar. I'm going to put that there because they all right. Rev, he look like he doing all right. He's riding around the Escalade. I'm not going to get my money to that so I can go support his Escalade fund. You know how church folk think. So it seems like to me that as long as I spend on what I want, it's all well. God says, not so. Verse 2 says, the Lord who rules over all says this, the people have said the time for rebuilding the Lord's temple has not yet come. So the Lord spoke through the prophet Haggai as follows, is it right for you to live in richly paneled houses while my temple is in ruins? In other words, in this period, they were living life wonderfully, but the temple was a mess. How is it that your house is perfect and God's house is a mess? How can you even be happy with yourself knowing who I am supposedly to you in your life, but yet my place is falling apart and your place is intact? Are you not forgetting where all of what you have comes from? He has to remind them, it is I who have given you what you have, and without me, you would have nothing. That's why he says the Lord who rules over what? All. Is it right for you to live in richly paneled houses while my temple is in ruins? Here then is what the Lord who rules over all says. Think carefully about what you're doing. You have planted much, but have harvested little. Normally, if you plant a lot, you shouldn't get a lot. But you got to remember that the only way you get a lot is because God blesses what you've done. If he don't bless what you've done, then you're not going to get much at all. I don't care how hard you work and how much you plant. if God don't give the increase, ain't no increase to be got. You drink, but are still thirsty. How in the world can I still be thirsty after I've drank? Because you're not drinking from the right well. You drinking, but you drinking what you think the world says is good. I'm drinking up the malls. I'm drinking up the flea market. I'm drinking up what the world tells me to drink up. But the problem is that stuff right there keeps you wanting for more. So in other words, you ain't drinking the right stuff. You put on clothes, but are not warm. What you dressing with? What kind of clothes you putting on? Are they righteous clothes or raggedy clothes? See, they look righteous to you, but they look raggedy to God. I mean, I got this $200. You know how folks are too. They don't just have a leather coat on.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I got this new $200 leather coat on. I got these $100 shoes on. They don't care about the fact that there's a pair that's for $9.99 and pay less shoes. They ain't going to tell you how much they cost, but they want you to know when they've spent the money. Then ask them the question, well, how much have you gave the church? Well, they doing fine. The lights is on. Pastor drive a nice car. Everything is wonderful over there, I would imagine. But you didn't answer my question. How much have you brought back into God's house? Well, I drove past your church the other day, and there's a big corner missing out of the building. How much you say your shoes were? What they got to do with my shoes? Well, because obviously God's shoes is off. Because yours are on. There's no way in the world that if we are a people of God, we let his house suffer. There's no reason in the world why we should ever come to a place and there's a foreclosure sign on the front door of the church. There's churches all around this community right now for sale, trying to figure out how to downsize, how to do something to maintain. And God sends people, members, to a branch of Zion to support that branch. Now, I'm not talking about those who don't have the means. You know who you are, but I'm talking about those who have the means and don't give. And they say, well, it's all right. God says it's not all right. Listen to this. Those who earn wages and end up with holes in their money bags. The world wants you to buy into its system. They send you commercials, advertisement, things in the mail, sales. Matter of fact, what's coming up? Halloween. Halloween sales and Labor Day sales and winter sales and back to school sales. All these sales, and you see the word sale, and your eyes just get wide. Well. And they get so wide, by the time you get to Sunday, you done sailed out and sold out. Well. And there's nothing left for God. But yet when you come expecting to get something from God. Lord, I done spent all my money now. Can you give me some more? Well, or I tell you what, if I give you 10, can you give me 20 back? Well, you know that whole thing, give to get? Yeah. Come on, if you meet the Lord here, he'll meet you there. Well, that ain't the same word that I've studied. Well, God ain't concerned about matching funds. This ain't no employment plan. God says give because he wants us to be cheerful and freely give because we love the Lord. And if you give without the presence of wanting to get back, God can bless you beyond measure. See, the problem is you trying to give 10 to get 10, you crazy. I'm just giving to God, and God, you can give to me however you want to give. You can 10, triple, double, whatever you want to do, but Lord, I just want to bless you, and whatever you got for me, I'm willing to take. Because I know that what God has for me is better than my plan for him. But we like to do those tricks of the trade. Because you know, when you go to the store, you get your money, you get something in return immediately. Right? That's what makes it so easy. And if I put $1,000 down, here comes my LCD TV. And I get to see it. Stand up there and watch it. And tell everybody, hey, I got my big screen. Come on over, watch the game with me. Come on over and watch Denzel with me. He's bigger now. $1,000, bam, gone. But you haven't given anything to God. And when it comes time to give to him, you got to think about how much to give. The TV, you like, hey, y'all want that? That's a good deal. Comes to God's house. Well, or what about time? We give the world way too much time. Amen? We work for them. We live for them. We cook for them. We clean for them. We got the world locked down. And then we done worked so much for the world, and now when it comes to God's time, we tired. Because, of course, the world ain't done so much for you. Don't you realize the world ain't doing nothing but leeching off of you? And you giving and giving and giving. And have you not realized yet that the world has not given you anything back? It just keeps taking. But God, who wants to give you back, you don't have no time for. You find excuses. Find reasons as to why we can't do. But his temple is going slowly down. It is the people's responsibility of a church to make sure that church has everything it needs. You're not there to worry about this or worry about that. You just want to do your part. Because see, if you're doing your part, then God can bless you right where you are. No matter if somebody else is acting crazy, look, I don't know about them, Red, but my part is done. See, in other words, if I know I'm doing the best, I know I'm doing all I'm supposed to do, a message like this don't mean nothing to me. Well, only a hit dog gonna holler, and I definitely heard some barking.
Come on, Doc.
If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, this message is like, because I know I'm where God wants me to be.
All right.
But if you ain't, that's a hot seat right now. Because God is dealing with you. He's dealing with us. See, the thing is, he knows. When he sent the message to Haggai, he knew the people was doing nothing. He knew they was living foul outside of the house. He knew his temple was going down. He knew who could fix it. I've given you everything, and in return, you give me nothing. Moreover, the Lord, he says, pay close attention to these things. Go up to the hill country and bring back timber to build a temple. Then I will be pleased and honored, says the Lord. You expected a large harvest, but instead there was little, and when you brought it home, it disappeared right away. Why? Asked the Lord who rules over all. Because my temple remains in ruins. Thanks to each of you. He's kind of specific, ain't he? Thanks to each of you favoring his own house. See, in other words, you got timber. Watch this.
Come on now.
But the good portion of the timber, that's at your house.
Yeah.
The stuff you didn't use,
yes, sir,
that's at the church house.
Yeah.
In other words, it's some hand-me-down stuff. So you paid the money to get the good stuff. But then it comes to charitable efforts.
Yeah.
Well, okay, now let the church get the remainder of what I did not use for my house. So in other words, your house is better than God's house.
Yeah. Yeah.
In other words, you put more stock into what you have versus into what you give. Amen?
Amen.
Nah, that's not me, man.
Come on now.
This is why the sky has held back its dew, and the earth it produces. Moreover, I have called for a drought that will affect the field, the hill country, the grain, the new wine, the fresh olive, everything they considered valuable, God had depleted. Trying to get to our attention. Come back to the source. Get the source right. And everything else will be fine. Get the source right. Come back to the original spot. Take care and reorganize your priorities and make sure that when you do, God is what? First. Say, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Say, I'll meet every one of your needs. We just don't believe it. Wow. So we think we got to keep meeting our needs, but we meet our needs and our what? Wants. So we go way beyond. He said, look, take care of the need. I got that. And as long as you do that, I'll give you the desires of your heart. But first, show some commitment to me. God is saying everything you have is because of me. Everything you've done, I have allowed you to do. And all he's saying is, give me back a portion. He didn't say drop the whole thing. He said, give me back a portion. Matter of fact, why don't you give me the best of what you have so I can give you better? So you think what you got is good? No. He got stuff better. See, you hold on to your little stuff. I got me something. I got me money. I got me a job. I got me a house. I thought I had all that too in Atlanta. He got rid of everything, gave me something better. But I had to give it up to him. I had to stop following my own way and start following his way. I could have said, no, I ain't coming to Pennsylvania. I ain't coming to Maryland. Stay right here in Georgia and do my thing. And I can still be in there living paycheck to paycheck. Following my own plan. But God said, whose plan are you supposed to follow? Is it my path or your path? And then, will y'all stop trying to help him direct the path? You know how it is. We want to move him on our behalf instead of him being moved to his behalf. In other words, there's the yellow brick road, right? But I want to follow it the way I want to follow it. God says go to the right and you go to the left. He said go to the left, you go to the right. God said, well, look, I'm trying to get you on the point of where you understand that I'm in your corner. If you follow the path I've given you, you ain't got to worry about the wicked witch of the east or the west or wherever she came from. The reason why Dorothy had that because she kept going the path the way she wanted. What I'm trying to tell you is get off of your path and get on here. That's all he's saying. Say, look, stop worrying about all your stuff. Concentrate on mine, and I'll worry about your stuff. All right. And not only that, I don't have to worry because I can fix it. See, we in the wrong part of town. You know what happens when you get in the wrong part of town, right? Some of y'all hood people. Some of y'all Philly. Uh-oh. Some of y'all Jersey. Yeah. Some of y'all BMO. You know what happens when you get in the wrong part of town and you don't belong there. I don't know about y'all, but I do some rolling stops. Because I know you can't stop on this street. But there's a light. I know there's a light, but I'm looking both ways and I'm still rolling. Same thing. Stop going to the places where the world says go and visit when you know you ain't got no business there. That's not your side of town. You know when you get in trouble when you're on the wrong side of town. God in Malachi, he simply says, since I, the Lord, do not go back on my promises, you sons of Jacob have not perished. From the days of your ancestors, that's a long way, you have ignored my commandments and have not kept them. He says, simply return to me, and I will return to you. In other words, the reason why we lacking is because we have not returned to him. We're still doing our own thing, our own resources. We're trying to pull together what we think is the right way. He says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord who rules over all. Malachi used the same speech as Haggai. But you say, how shall we return? Can a person rob God? You indeed are robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing you? And Malachi says, in tithes and offerings, contributions, charitable giving, time, you're robbing me from the stuff that rightfully belongs to me. But you still expect me to do for you. And Israel was good for that. They knew how to party and then wanted God to take care of everything. It says, how are we robbing in tithes and contributions? You are bound for judgment because you are robbing me, the whole nation. Is guilty. In other words, the whole branch, the whole church is guilty. From the head to the pews. If God's house is falling short, we all got a price to pay. We got to step it up. We got to make it work. We got to make it happen. To at least say, if we don't do nothing else, we make sure his house runs smoothly. We make sure our corners get fixed. We make sure our places get painted. We make sure that we do what it takes so that it looks like a place where we can meet God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to run down worship center. I don't want to come to a place where I believe we could do better and we're not doing it. It's all about God. It's all about making sure you give back just what he's given to us. Proportionate giving, however you choose it, charitable giving. Some folks still stuck on tithing with the 10%. The bottom line is God gave to us. We give back to him. In our time, in our efforts, in everything that we do, if we put God first, the house will never go short. The economy is crazy right now, isn't it? And the world has suffered too. Stores have closed down. Things have stopped. Businesses have shut down. People have been cheating folk. Well, that's the world. The church should never be in the same category as the world. If a church closed down, there's something wrong. Especially if the word is being preached and taught. If it closed down, it just means that the people had their ears closed and didn't want to hear it. Bottom line is, don't let the world take from you what belongs to God. Give God his first and let everything else fall in line. And I guarantee you, if you do that, he will bless you right where you are. It ain't about a match for a match. Just give as he has blessed you. And don't think about it. You know how folks give gifts? I give you a gift for your birthday. Just so that when my birthday come around, I got a gift coming back to me. If you got a gift to me like that, don't give to me. Because you're giving it for the wrong reason. Then you're going to be mad when I don't match what you gave me. You give because it's the right thing to do. You give because you love. You give because I just had it on my heart and I wanted to bless you. That's giving. Same thing with God. Lord, here it is. Do whatever you want with it, but here, this is my portion that I'm giving to you. And then make sure you edge out or carve out some time for God. Because he wants to see you in worship service. He wants to see you at Bible study. He wants to see you at the new members class. He wants to see you at sir. He wants to see you if we go on road. He wants to see you because the more he sees you, the more he can talk to you. Because unfortunately, a lot of times, the only church we get is when we're here. Rest of the week, we're not getting the same thing. The world has you way more time than what God has you. Even when you home watching TV, but I'm just here watching TV. That's all right. The world got you. Because you watching whose program? The world. And I don't hear why I'm watching a Christian program. The Bible says, fail not to assemble in his house. You understand what I'm saying? So that ain't your church. And that ain't where you get in. You can't ask him no questions in the middle of the TV. You can't stop T.D. Jakes. You can't stop him. But in God's house, when you come to lesson and learn, you can stop and say, hey, I got a question. Amen?
Amen.
Don't let the world consume you. If anything is going to consume you, let it be God. The doors in the church are open this morning. Amen.